Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
The same way the bride does not know when the groom is coming, make sure that there is enough oil in your lamp, because you do not know the day and the hour. The problem is, if you die today, Jesus has already come for you. So pay attention.
Are you living ready for Christ's return? In today's powerful message, Pastor Neil reminds us why abiding in Christ isn't optional. It's essential. When we remain rooted in Him, we're not swayed by the world, but are anchored in righteousness and prepared for His glorious return. He said, "The second coming isn't a myth. It's a promise. Jesus declared it. Paul affirmed it. Scripture reminds us." He emphasizes that we are not just believers, we are beloved children of God. The Father has lavished His love on us, giving us a new identity and a living hope. And all who carry this hope purify themselves, just as Christ is pure. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, Confident at Jesus' Second Coming.
Today I want to speak on the subject, Confident at the Second Coming of Jesus. I thought somebody was going to say hallelujah. You're not expecting Jesus to come back, are you? We're going to talk about Jesus' coming. Don't live as if you have every day. No, you don't. Life can be over soon. 1 John chapter 2. Whilst you're turning in, let me make just a few statements here that we have been examining the text of 1 John, which emphasizes our intimacy or our fellowship or how close we are to the Lord Jesus, all right? And we have discovered throughout our study that intimacy with God would help us to stay joyful. You all remember that He says the more you are intimate with God, your joy will be what? Full. Your joy will be full. So intimacy with God helps us to stay joyful. Secondly, intimacy with God grows when we are honest about our sin, not when we cover it. He says, if you claim you know God and you do some things that do not glorify Him, says, then you deceive yourself. But if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just. I'm reviewing. So number one, intimacy with God helps us to stay joyful. Number two, intimacy with God grows when we are honest about our sin, all right? When we are honest about our sin. Thirdly, intimacy with God requires a consciousness of our advocate. He says, do not walk in sin, but then He knows that we will sin occasionally. And He says, when that happens, you must understand that you have an advocate, all right? Again, intimacy with God grows in the soil of obedience. Intimacy with God grows in the soil of what? Obedience. Grows in the soil of obedience. If you keep disobeying God, your intimacy with Him does not grow. You must learn to obey Him. We have also studied that intimacy with God grows when God is our only lover. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are... You can't say you love God and you love the world at the same time. It's error. You either love God or you love the world. And I remember reminding you that God has never wired any human to love two things equally. That is why sometimes even parents find it difficult to love all their children the same. We've not been wired to do that. So either money is your God or God is your God. You have to make that choice. And in our intimacy or our closeness with Him, it would help us to understand that we must look at God as our only, what? Lover. We've also stated that intimacy with God helps us to know the authentic voice of God in the midst of deceivers. We live in the last days. Somebody say last days. And in this last days, there are many voices that are speaking. Some are political, some are religious. Some are doing all kinds of things. And they are all pointing us to the fact that maybe this is God. The truth is that for you and I to be able to distinguish the true or the authentic voice of God, we must learn to be intimate with him. Illustration. How many of you, if you are not seeing my face and you hear my voice, would actually recognize it's me? How many of you? You're 100% sure. Because I'm going to make them play something. Now that I've said it, maybe you say, yeah, Pastor, it's you. And you notice that that's not me. The one who can actually tell that it's me is my wife. Because the closer you are to God, the more easier it is for you to know his authentic word. Because sometimes people will parade like me, but they are not me. She can tell the difference. And the more we are close to God, the easier it is for us to be able to discern the authentic voice of God. He says there will be many antichrists. There will be many deceivers. People will come and say, I am the Christ, I am this, and I am that. But the easier way is that when you spend time with him. We understood, this was our last lesson, we understood that the best way to have this level of intimacy is to abide in him. Somebody say abide. All right, the New International Version uses the word remain. Other versions would say continue. But we understood that the word abide means to hang out. I mean, if you remember that. So don't visit God on Sunday morning. Make sure that you are actually hanging out with him. You are staying with him. You are continuing with him. You are spending time with what? Him. And today we're going to pick up from 1 John chapter 2, we'll start from verse 28, and then we'll read through to chapter 3. Here, he continues the concept and the idea of abiding in him. But John then gives us a reason as to why we should abide in him, and this is what he said. When you abide in him, when Jesus comes again, when he appears, you will either be confident before him, or you might be afraid. And the subject of the second coming is not something people love to hear. But today, we will talk about it. Your amen is weak. I said today we will do what? We will talk about it. All right. So 1 John chapter 2, we'll pick up from verse 28, and we will read together. Ready? He says, and now, dear children, continue or abide in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. When Jesus appears, how many of you are confident that you will be confident before him? Let me see your hands. Most of us are like this. If it's like that, now at the end of this message, work on your life. Right? He's telling us that when Jesus appears, there are those who will be confident at his coming, and there are those who will be afraid. They will be shaking. Then he uses another word, which gives us another dimension. Then those who will be ashamed. Have you ever tried to go see someone? You've been hyped when you see this guy. And then you show up in their presence and you realize it's not up to the hype. Right? Has it ever occurred to you? Oh, so has it ever happened to you? But I tell you, Jesus will live up to the hype. When you stand in his presence, you will know that this is the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. Amen. And the Apostle John today says, when Jesus comes, there are those who will be shaking, they will be afraid. And there are those who will be what? Confident. There are those who will be unashamed. And then there are those who will be ashamed. Question is, will you be confident? And that's what we want to get into. And he tells us that the only way that you will be unashamed or confident is to remain in him, to abide in him. When you abide in him, because you have spent so much time with him, when you see him, you will not be ashamed. So this abiding thing is not a simple subject. Amen. Are you ready to go on the journey with me today? So we're going to study this thing very carefully. Why are we to abide in Christ? He tells us, so when he comes again, we will be what? Come on, talk to me. We will be confident and unashamed at his coming. Unashamed at his coming. Somebody say unashamed.
Unashamed.
Turn to the person sitting next to you. Please don't say anything until I tell you to. And please don't get mad at them, because what they're about to say, they didn't choose to say it. They were told to say it. Ask them, when Jesus comes, will you be confident? Please give them answers. Will you be confident? Please, it's a serious matter. It's not something to toy around with. The reason is that if you will be confident, you know it. Because you know how you're living. All right? And if you will be ashamed, you also know it. You don't need me to tell you that. So they say, why are you judging me? You know it. You don't need me to judge you. You know it deep in your heart. And today we'll go through God's word together and fully understand those truths. Amen? So the first thing I want us to do this morning is to establish the reality that Jesus is coming. There are people who think that Jesus is coming to us. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. No, he's not coming anymore. He is actually coming. He is actually what? All right, and we want to establish that fact. First of all, Jesus himself said, I will come. Turn with me to the book of John chapter 14. We'll read the first three verses. John chapter 14, from verses 1 to verse 3, Jesus himself establishes clearly to us. He says it, I will come back. Are you in John chapter 14? Let's look at the first three verses. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2, please read everybody with me, go. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus saying? He's coming back. He is? We just don't know when, but the fact is he will come back. I once heard a preacher say that there are no mansions in heaven. There are no rooms in heaven. Let me correct that. Because these days we have all kinds of preachers saying all kinds of crazy things. And because of social media, Christians have become gullible. This verse in Matthew 25 is based on what is called the old Jewish tradition, a wedding tradition. Everybody say that with me. The old wedding tradition. There were three parts to the Jewish marriage. There is the first part where we call it the premarital commitment. Then there's the second part, which is called the betrothal. I'm not going to give you Hebrew names because you don't need that. So let's do it in English. Then there's the third part, which is called the marriage. Now, in the premarital commitment, the father chooses a bride for his son. It is not the son who chooses. The Bible tells you and I that Christ, his church, is his bride. And that is why the Bible says, you did not choose me, but I, what? Chose you. The Father chose us and gave us as a bride to his son, Jesus. So when Jesus comes to earth, the premarital commitment has begun. When you become born again, you are making a commitment to him to be his bride. Then comes what is called the betrothal phase. In modern terms, we'll call it engagement. But in the Jewish tradition, betrothal can only be broken by divorce. Not the ones that we give ring and then we throw it away. Not that one. And in this phase, after the bride has been betrothed to the man will tell the lady, I am going to go to my father's house. And most of the fathers built their houses with this in mind, that their children will marry and bring their bride to the home. So the father's house is the place where you bring the bride. So when Jesus said, I am going to my father's house and I will prepare a place, when I am done, I will come back and take you unto myself. So where I am, there you may be. What? He was using the imagery of a Jewish wedding. You don't understand the scriptures, please read it well. Another dimension of this is that you all remember when Jesus gives the parable where he says there are 10 virgins. You remember? And in it, he talks about the bride and the groom. So when this man travels to the father's house, normally in Jewish tradition, it's supposed to last for a year, but oftentimes it goes beyond it. So the bride does not know when the groom will come. She doesn't. So she always has to what? Prepare herself. And when she's going to sleep, she needs to have a lamp with oil in it. Just in case the groom arrives in the night, then she will wake up and trim it. Are you understanding? When Jesus speaks, he wasn't speaking anything extraordinary. He simply used their customs and their culture to speak to the people. So when Jesus speaks here to the disciples, because he's told them, I'm going to go away to the Father, he says, but when I go, I'll prepare a place. When I'm done, I'm going to come. The problem is, we don't know when he is going to come back. So you must have some oil in your lamp. But the idea that he's not coming is a lie. He's coming again. He said it, what? Himself. Go with me to the book of Revelations. In the book of Revelations, Jesus speaks about the fact that he's going to be here. Look at verse, Revelation 22, look at verse 7. He says, look, the King James says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this prophecy. Did you guys see that? Look, I am what? Coming. And he says, I will come quickly. Okay. Look at verse 12. Still in Revelation. And please remember, the book of Revelation, though written by John, it is the revelation of Jesus given to John. So most of the time, it is Jesus speaking. Are you in verse 12? He says, behold, I come what? Quickly. And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Behold, I am coming quickly. People are living today as if Jesus will not come. He is coming. He is coming. Let's look at who is speaking. Look at the next verse. Right, Revelation 22, verse 12. Look at verse 13. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Look at verse 16. Because verse 16, he gives us his identity. He says, I, Jesus, I who? So these are his own words. It is not somebody trying to say Jesus was come. It's Jesus himself saying, I'm coming back. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning sun. And verse 20, we are going to read it together. Verse 20, Revelation 22. I'm still there in the book of Revelation. Read with me, shall we? He which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Is he coming?
Yes.
Now, if somebody came to you and told you that I said I will be in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, you can argue that the person might not be telling the truth. Correct? Why? Because it's not me saying it. Maybe tomorrow I might be lying somewhere on a beach and somebody is saying I'll be in D.C. correct? But here, it is not me saying it. It is Jesus himself saying, I am coming what? Come on, talk to me. Jesus is saying, I am coming quickly. All right? So Jesus himself said he will return. Secondly, the angels at Jesus' ascension also said that he will come. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Now, you remember that in the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus was getting ready to go back to heaven. He was assembled with his disciples, and then the disciples asked him, when are you going to restore the kingdom to us? And he says, for the times and the seasons, it's all in the power of the Father. Here again is another thing that is being talked about and is being misconstrued, that if Jesus is God, why would he say that the times and the seasons are in the power of the Father? Remember, when he spoke, he was in his humanity, incarnated Jesus. So it's God in the flesh. And therefore, he can only say it is in the power of what? The Father. And so the scripture says, he told them, but you will receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And the scripture says, after he has said these things, Acts chapter 1, are you there? We will look at verse 9. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. After he said this, and I already told you what he said, right? That you receive power when the Holy Spirit, you don't need to know all these things. He left it in the power of the Father. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in the white stood beside them. That is a description of angels. Verse 11, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So Jesus is not coming like a spirit. He will come with a body. Did you hear that? Jesus is coming. Those who claim they don't like him, he is coming. And when he comes, they will see him. In fact, the book of Revelation 19 teaches that he will stamp his foot in Mount Sinai. And when he steps there, he came to do war. And nobody can stand before him, including you two, who thinks you are all that. Because there's coming a day when we all must bow and declare King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The angels are tested. So it's not only Jesus who said he's going to come. The angels said that he will also what? Come. Paul the apostle tells us. Turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's a very lengthy reading, but I'll try and read it quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll pick up from verse 13 to verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep or those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Whilst we live, we must live to please him. Amen. Amen. Paul says, I will not want you to be ignorant, because those who die in the Lord, they are such that one day they will be with the Lord. So please don't grieve as if it's over. It ain't over. It's only over in this body. Now, let me explain something really quick. As a human being, you have what I call a spirit soul, and then you have a body. When you die, the other part of you separates from this body. This body is buried, but you are still alive. You are just not alive in this natural world. Amen? And the scripture teaches us that something else happened. Verse 14, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. The whole issue is that if you know Jesus, you don't need to be afraid. Because when you die physically, you are alive with Jesus. There is no purgatory. There is no in between. You don't go anywhere to wait. As soon as you close your eyes on this side, you are either with the Lord or you are in hell. It's just that simple. Pastor, it usually is simple. It's simple based on what is written, but it's complex. I've heard somebody say, I'm just going to go on the bridge and throw myself down. Then it will be over. Don't do it, because it ain't over. It will be over here. But something else starts on the other side. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have what? Fallen asleep. Verse 15. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord. Please underline that, because that's what we are dealing with. Who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Huh? For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. So we will be with the Lord forever. So we will be. Will you? So, it's okay to cry. It's okay to grieve. But don't grieve like those who do not know the Lord. I pray that you know the Lord. Because if you do know the Lord, then you'll rejoice. Why? Because one day, you'll see Abrante again. Come on. I said one day. I haven't started preaching yet, though. When I talk about the second coming of Christ, I get fire. Verse 18, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So in this life, there's going to be trouble, but you don't need to worry. Amen. So back to 1 John. We've established that Jesus would what? Come. Would Jesus come? He said it himself. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, says it too. Right? And then the angels who were present at Jesus' ascension also says that, yep, he was going to come. And people, the world is gradually moving towards a place. And the true child of God pays attention to what is happening. We are waiting for his coming. But before he comes, you won't go to heaven by yourself. Go and get some souls and bring them to Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Pastor, we've heard that Jesus is coming. He's not come. The same way the bride does not know when the groom is coming. Make sure that there is enough oil in your lamp. Because you do not know the day and the hour. The problem is, if you die today, Jesus has already come for you. So pay attention. Are you back to 1 John chapter 2? And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed. Continue in him. Continue in what? Continue in righteous living. Verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Now, let's break this verse down. He's saying that when Jesus comes, those who will be confident at his coming are those who practice righteousness. Question. If I steal, I like giving examples that will not make you forget. If I steal occasionally, would you say I'm a thief? Why are you saying yes that quick? If you steal occasionally, you are a thief. Okay. If you pray occasionally, are you prayerful? So why are you telling me the other one said I'm a thief? I'm going somewhere with it. Follow me. If you practice righteousness occasionally, are you righteous? That's what that verse is saying. It says, if you practice righteousness, you are righteous. Not when you do righteousness occasionally. So when Jesus appears, he says, those who will be unashamed are those who practice righteousness. Did you see that in your in your Bible? If you know that he, that is Jesus, is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been what? Born of him. And if you have been born of him, in other words, born again, you will be confident at Jesus' coming.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.